Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. The Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin had hundreds of statues, busts, and monuments erected in his honour, both in the former USSR and in Europe. But after his death in 1953, and the ensuing policies of de-Stalinization launched by Nikita Khrushchev, most of these memorials were quickly dismantled and destroyed, but by no means all. Vienna is home to the only remaining Stalin memorial in Western Europe, and Monocle's Alexei Korolev went to investigate.
I'm in an ordinary street in southwest Vienna, outside a typical 19th century tenement house. But up on its wall is something quite extraordinary. A grand marble plaque to Joseph Stalin. Below the bronze relief showing the great leader's profile, it reads, J.V. Stalin stayed in this house in January 1913. Here he wrote his significant work, Marxism and the National Question. Next to it are two more plates, much simpler in design, one in English, the other in German, explaining who Stalin actually was and what he did. That first tablet, the big marble one, was erected in 1949 by Austria's Communist Party to mark Stalin's 70th birthday.
And when they did this, they did this, of course, on the day of his birthday, and it was reported upon in the Soviet Union, together with reports coming in from all over the world about other monuments being dedicated.
Elisa Krise is a historian specializing in Soviet history. She has written two papers about the Stalin plaque, and she talked to me on the line from Bamberg University in Germany.
Although Austria was occupied by the Soviet military forces, the Soviet military forces did not place this memorial plaque. Now, the interesting thing about the plaque is not so much that it came into existence, but that it's still there today, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the surprising part.
Exactly. I mean, yes. Because, of course, over the years, and very soon afterwards, after the unveiling of the plaque, de-Stalinization began in the Soviet Union.
Well, this is precisely the thing, that because it was Austrians who had placed it there, when Nikita Khrushchev asked them to remove it in the 1950s, they said no, because they said he had no right to decide what Austrians had on their walls or on their streets. In Austria, there's a different way of dealing with controversial memorial sites.
When the Stalin plaque was placed on the wall of a building in Vienna, this Austrian Communist Party was one of the most thoroughly Stalinized Communist parties of Western Europe.
Professor Wolfgang Müller teaches Russian history at the University of Vienna.
This very close relationship of the Austrian Communist Party with the USSR remained in place even into the 1950s. This has something to do with not only the close ideological relationship between all communist parties, but also because the Austrian Communist Party was so weak that it was hardly possible for the Austrian Communist Party itself to survive without support from the outside. So very soon, during the first post-war decade, the Austrian Communists became even dependent financially upon Soviet support.
During his stay in Vienna, Stalin made the acquaintance of prominent communists Leon Trotsky and Nikolai Bukharin. Bukharin, incidentally, helped him finish his book on the National Question. Both would perish during the Stalinist terror of the 1930s, along with hundreds of thousands of other men and women. But even though Stalin's bloody record is now common knowledge, few people in Austria seem to care about the plaque. That's for a reason, says Professor Wolfgang Müller.
Popular attitude towards Stalin was much better in Western Europe than it was in Eastern Europe. This had certainly to do with the basic fact that the East had been occupied by the Red Army for a very long time, for 4 decades, and they had really suffered all parts of Stalinist terror. This was not the case in Western Europe. in countries like France and Italy, the communists were highly popular. And that went hand in hand with the high reputation and prestige Stalin personally enjoyed in these countries as having been the leader of a World War ally. And that was the case in this country in the early post-war time as well.
Even so, there have been some attempts to get the plaque removed, most of them, interestingly, from the far-right Freedom Party. It did not respond to a request for an interview. But historian Elisa Kriza from the University of Bamberg has her theories.
It was more the issue of having red memorials as opposed to brown memorials. Brown memorials are right-wing memorials and red memorials are, you know, left-wing. Some people, some scholars that I talked to who mostly talked off the record on this issue told me that they wanted to preserve this red memorial as kind of a form of resistance. But it didn't have to do with Stalin as a person, not as a Soviet dictator who did so many bad things.
So here we are, and you know, the plaque is still there on the wall of that building. Is it just a historical curiosity, you think? Is it something that people should be concerned about? Is it something that should be remembered? Is it something that should be erased?
I think it is all of that.
A last word from Professor Wolfgang Müller.
It hasn't been debated enough. I think that much more discussion is needed about Stalinism and about also communist dictatorship in Central Europe. This has happened at the doorstep of this country, and it has been very quickly forgotten. And if we look at discussions that are going on today within the European Union, migration and other topics that are currently very intensely debated and that sometimes show some sort of a cleavage between Central Europe and Western Europe. And in order to overcome this cleavage, I think it would be good to talk and to discuss much more about Stalinism and the historical memory.
For Monocle in Vienna, I'm Alexei Korolev.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. Our thanks to Alexei Korolev for today's episode. Remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, city lovers.